So look at three things. The first thing is, and it really, although we're going to be looking at Peter's story, what we're really looking at is Jesus. And we're going to look, first of all, at a knowledge and a care that Jesus displays in the story. The next section is that we're going to look at a look. And then finally, a restoring grace. So that's a knowledge and a care, a look, and the restoring grace. So, the story here that we have before us here, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail, and when your brothers have turned back, strengthen your heart. Sorry, I'm just going to have to mute somebody. Somebody was coming through. The thing that we can see here is that the events were predefined. There was a predestination in these events. And Jesus is very, very clear in what must and what will happen. That the devil has sought to sift them, the disciples, as wheat, like he had done with Job, and that he has permission from the Lord to go so far. Now, the events were going to unfurl. They were planned before the start of time itself. And Peter's faith would be rocked. And by it, he would be brought to repentance. And from repentance, he would find grace and mercy in abundance as he is restored later. However, he faces the facts that he will fall away, but he will be restored, he will turn back, and then the training of his past 3 years will become his mission until his death. You see here, Jesus is very, very clear. I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when your brothers turn back, strengthen your brothers. So he will find a time of sifting. What will happen, will happen. The Lord knew it. And the Lord was preparing him for what was about to happen. But a bit like us sometimes, when we face a circumstance that doesn't seem to make a lot of sense, we misinterpret what God's saying to us. And he replies, Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death. So he's holding on to that zeal. That zeal, if you remember in one of the stories that we looked at a few months ago, where he steps out of the boat. There's a storm going on, and he steps out of that boat, and he starts heading towards Jesus. And that same zeal here is on display, that I will go with you to prison, and I'll go even to death. But Jesus knows. He knows what's going to happen. He knows what must happen. And so Jesus answers him, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster cries today, you will deny me three times that you know me. Not once, not twice, but three times. There is a purpose and an underlying pattern of love in this picture. You see, it's a divine plan for the development of Peter's faith. But not just that, it is also an underlying love for the spread of the gospel, which will be unbound and unhindered by fear that would have grabbed hold of him if he hadn't have gone through this experience. And the result of that was the saving of souls. On the day of Pentecost we see it, and then numerous times throughout Acts. And then as we read Paul's letters and epistles, we see the church being established and the church growing, and it is because of this moment and this moment moving forward. The unfettered, joyous spread of the gospel that will start with a trial, temptation, failure, but forgiveness after repentance and restoration. So that story on its own would be strong enough in itself, but now we need to see the fulfillment of that story, and that's when we come to the look. So we see in the story quite clearly that Peter is asked by a number of different people. Verse 56, a servant girl saw him, so just a servant girl, saw him sitting there in the firelight, and she looked closely at him and said, this man was with him. Bear in mind that Jesus is within hearing distance. He is just literally just round the corner. But Peter denies it. Woman, I don't know him. Then a little later, somebody else sees him and says, you're also one of them. He's getting a bit more agitated. Man, I am not. And then about an hour later, another asserted, certainly this fellow is with him, for he is a Galilean. Now, in some of the other Gospels, they're not as kind to Peter as Luke is. In Luke it says here, Peter replied, man, I don't know what you're talking about. And just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. Now, for those of you that know your Gospels well, will know that in one of the Gospels it talks about him bringing down curses. So not only does he deny his Lord three times within hearing distance of Jesus, he also brings down curses. And then Peter, it says here, the Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. What kind of look was this? Well, I would say that it was a look of concern and a look of pity. For it was a look not of wrath or resentment, but a look of love and a look of mercy. Now you have to remember where Jesus is. He's been dragged away. He's been betrayed by one of the 12. He's been ridiculed. He's been beaten. He's been whipped. He knows where he is going. And yet in all of this, there is a display of love for one person. The one person who really, really, really needs it at this time. And in that look that breaks your heart, and most definitely broke Peter's, but there is a look of love and concern. The look had power that went along with it. It was not only a signal to Peter, but to put him in remembrance of what Jesus had said only a while before. It was also a melting look to him, a means of convicting Peter, of humbling Peter, and then bringing Peter to repentance. How many of you have been in that position where you have seen Jesus, you have seen what he's done, and that you have gone outside, like Peter in verse 62, went outside and wept bitterly? When we are confronted with our sins, when we are confronted with what we have done, it should bring us to our knees, it should break us, and it should take us to repentance. If the gospel narrative left it there, it would be fair. But it doesn't. And I'm going to break from this sharing of my screen. Now I'm going to ask Harry if you will read our next part. So that is John chapter 22 and verses 15 to 19. So that's John 21, 15 to 19.
When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, Feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, Tend to my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, Do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything, and you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and others will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, Follow me.
Thank you, Harry. I'll take the spotlight off of you. And I'll share with you the passage that we're going to look at now on the screen. So now we're looking at a restoring grace. One of the beauties, and there are many, many beauties about the Bible, for me, because that's the kind of mind that I've got, I like the symmetry that's within the scriptures. And in this passage, we see, if you'd have read the verses before the verse that Harry read very well for us just then, we will see that the disciples are back in the same place where Peter was called to be a disciple of Jesus 3 years previous. And they were there, and if you want to know why they were there, you will find the answer to that in Matthew 28:8-10, which we won't look at now, but you can by all means go and have a look later. Matthew 28, verses 8-10, you will see that Jesus gave the instruction to the disciples to meet him down in Galilee. And so this isn't a coincidence, but it is a design. You know, was creation an evolving of an idea or an unfolding of a plan? Well, I would say it's an unfolding of a plan. And so here we also see an unfolding of a divine plan. If you look at the passage way back in Luke chapter 5 and verses 1 to 11 that we looked at the very beginning of all of this months ago, we will see that the disciples again were fishing, not catching anything, put out the nets and catch an abundance of fish. And then they encounter Jesus. And same again here in John chapter 21. Now, the threefold rejection that we read earlier is met with a threefold reinstatement and a mission statement to Peter and to the disciples. First of all, we see here Jesus' question, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. And Jesus says, feed my lambs. The message here to Peter is to feed, to look after the young Christians that are going to be added to the number, to look after the tender, to look after the weak. And maybe many of us will attribute ourselves to maybe just one of those. Maybe we are young in the faith. Maybe we have a tender faith that gets a bit bruised. Or maybe we look back at our faith and go, it was weak. Well, Peter is being asked to look after and to feed the lambs of the church. And the next question, again, very similar to the first one. Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he answers, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. Take care of the lost Israel, to the children of Israel that I came to die for. Also the sheep amongst the Gentiles. And praise God for the extending of that mercy. To feed with the word and to care for them and to love them. But not to lord it over them. A shepherd doesn't lord it over his sheep, but he loves and cares for them. But as with Jesus as a role model, to serve. And that is for the leaders of the church. That is for all of us in various ministry works. It is to care for. It is to love. Not to lord over, but to be examples and use Jesus as a role model to serve and to serve and to serve again. And then a third time, Jesus says to Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me? But Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. So do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And now a repetition of the first one, feed my sheep. Why? Why the repetition? Well, I'll proffer an answer to that one. It is because he is to persevere and not to fall away, to keep on going. When the times get tough, when the times get hard, to keep on going. If we look at Luke 9:62, we will see Jesus laying down that as an instruction to them. Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom. So that was an instruction that he gave, what, nearly 3 years previous. And in a way, this third time is an underlining of that perseverance, striving. Because what Peter is going to face is going to be a hard, hard slog. So much so, as Jesus had already explained to him, that, as he goes on to explain, that he will lose his life for the furtherance of the gospel, just like his Lord and Master. Now, Peter is nearly ready to pick up that ministry. But next time that we meet, in about 4 or 5 weeks' time, we will look at that final missing piece. But for this morning, we will stop here and we will thank God for his restoring grace. We will thank God for the fact that he had a care and a love for Peter, that the events that were going to unfold, that there were going to be hardships. But those hardships were for the development of Peter's faith, for the development of the church, and for the saving grace and the gospel that goes out. And thank God for that, because we would not be meeting here now if the gospel did not go out and we haven't responded to that. We thank God also for that look, where Jesus looks with a love and a concern, but it breaks Peter to the point of where he seeks repent. He goes out in a repentant and broken and contrite position. And we should be often there. Not one of us lives a perfect life. But we know, and this is the beauty of the gospel, and this is the beauty, and it's the good news, that there is a restoring grace built on the pages, that God's plan is for us to be reinstated with him, to be sanctified, to be changed, and to glorify him, and to be able to praise and worship him. I wonder, therefore, if we can sing our final hymn, which is Amazing Grace.